السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ، ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشہد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمد عبدہ ورسولہ. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters listening over receivers. We are in the month of Ramadan and it is appropriate that we should be speaking about Ramadan. We should not say that Ramadan comes and goes every year, and we have heard these ayat of the Quran Sharif or the verses of the Quran Sharif and the hadiths or the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to the fasting of the month of Ramadan and the virtues of i'tikaf and the virtues of Laylatul Qadr, the auspicious night, and all other virtues. We have heard it many, many times, so there is no need to listen to it again. We have to listen to it repeatedly because Ramadans come and Ramadans go, but sometimes we remain the same. We haven't changed, no matter how many Ramadans we have seen in our lives. The whole objective and the purpose of fasting in that month of Ramadan was to bring about a total reformation and change in our lives. But if we have to look at the 11 months that have gone by and then x-ray our lives and see what did we do in the 11 months of the year, did we fulfill the objective of fasting? Last year, the Ramadan that we spent, and whatever the objectives we have heard in all the talks and bayans and programs and seminars and conferences and radio stations and Islamic literature, after that we must check our lives, that did we change our lives or did it remain the same, or sometimes it went even worse. So therefore we have to listen to it repeatedly, that what is the purpose and the objective. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself says that, O ye believers, I have prescribed fasting upon you as I prescribed on those before you, so that you may develop taqwa in you, so that you may become of the righteous and the pious, so that you may become of the muttaqeen, so that you may become of those people who restrain themselves from all that is forbidden and haram, so that you develop God consciousness in you. Now this is all explanation. Allah Ta'ala says, Tattaqoon. Now that was the objective. And the promises that Allah Ta'ala has made is unreal on this development of taqwa or piety. The promises are unreal. The rewards are so tremendous and so great that if only we had to adopt taqwa, then we can rest assured that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala would definitely give us those rewards that He has promised. Look at again the beautiful way in which Allah Ta'ala prescribes this fasting. O ye believers, I have prescribed fasting upon you as it was prescribed on those before you. Now that is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that straight away He is making it easy for us. There are exceptions, people who are very sick, very ill, there are concessions for them. Islam is the most beautiful deen, that it does not impose upon a person more than what he can bear. So there are concessions for the sick, for the weak, but we are talking about people who are fit, healthy. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that He prescribed this fasting upon the believers just as is prescribed on those before them. Now there's a whole history to it which I'm not going into, that what was the fasting of the people before, what were the conditions, what were the regulations. But the fact is that when a person is told that this employee, the new employee, when he is told that the job that you will have to do, when he's being given the job description, Now at that time he is told that the person working before you, he also did the same thing. And he was quite comfortable, he did not find it difficult, and therefore you also have to do ABC. So the moment you tell the person like that, he feels a bit comfortable that it's not going to be something beyond my capability and capacity, because the ones before me also did the same thing. Now that is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, not just that if you don't fast, I'll put you into hellfire. Allah Ta'ala is making it easy that this fasting is prescribed upon you as it was on those before you, and again, not as an kind of an imprisonment, not a kind of a fine or a burden. Allah Ta'ala is not putting some kind of a burden on you. There's great rewards that He wants to give to you if you are going to fast. And what is that reward? That you will become of the people who are, we term as the muttaqeen, those who are muttaqoon, the people who have got taqwa in their lives. Now this taqwa, we can go on explaining, and inshallah we will in the month of Ramadan, but one ayat of the Quran Sharif stands out whenever we discuss this aspect of taqwa. That when a person becomes conscious of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's presence, he restrains himself from everything that has been forbidden and made haram. And many times I have mentioned that if you have to look across the board, everything, you can look across the board. Many times I have discussed this, that take anything that Islam has forbidden, anything that Allah Ta'ala has made haram. He is the creator of man, so therefore whatever He is going to make haram, whatever He is going to forbid, whatever He is going to ask us to abstain from and restrain from, then there will be some goodness in it. So take anything that Allah Ta'ala has made haram, and you will find that it is either harmful to the person's own health or his own self. Either it is harmful to himself, or it is harmful to his family, or it is harmful to the society at large. Only those three things you will find which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. Whether it is gambling, whether it is drinking, whether it is adultery and fornication, whether it is watching the filth on the internet sites or the porn sites, or whether it is cheating or deceiving, or it is stealing, whatever it is, what Allah Ta'ala has made haram, what He has forbidden, then there is nothing in those things except which would have harmed the individual, or it would have harmed his family, or it would have harmed the society. Now every person with a little bit of sense also knows that when you steal from somebody, now that person whose goods got stolen, his shop was emptied, or his house was emptied, now that poor person had worked all his life, or he worked the whole month or the whole day, and he brought something into the house. And now somebody who didn't do any other work except stealing, he came inside and took everything away. So hasn't it caused harm to somebody? In the same way, when the person is engaging in adultery or fornication, then isn't he causing harm to that person's family? Because if somebody had to do the same thing to our sister, our mother, our aunt, what would we have felt? So anything that Allah Ta'ala prohibits, there's nothing but goodness in it. So this fasting, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that this is the purpose. Now that ayat I was saying stands out very, very clearly is, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever will adopt taqwa, explanation, whoever will adopt taqwa and piety, whoever will restrain himself from haram, whoever will fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him in his problems, in his difficulties, in his hardships, in his tests and trials. Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him, because who is it that has sent those tests? Who is it that has sent that hardship? Who is it that has tightened the person's risk and sustenance? Who is it that is making life a bit narrowed and tightened for the person? It is no one else except Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes he does it because he wants to test the person's iman and faith, or he wants to increase his stages, elevate his stages. And sometimes it is on account of our sins, our vices and our evils. So now that Allah who is sending those difficulties, those tests and trials, now He is saying that you turn towards Me and you adopt and develop taqwa in your lives, and I will find a way out for you in your problems. Throughout history, we will see so many incidents where people were in tight corners. They thought that there was no way out. Everyone gave up hope. Sometimes it is physical problems, sickness, diseases. The doctors give up hope. The specialists give up hope. The surgeons give up hope. And then suddenly we say there was a miraculous recovery. Now, what was that miraculous recovery? If all science failed, and all people of science failed, then what was that miraculous recovery? Who was behind that miraculous recovery? So we can call it, give it different names and different titles, but it is Allah Ta'ala. I have given one example repeatedly, in many places I have given that example, that if there is a student that is in an examination room, and this student is having great difficulty in answering his question paper, when the examiner or the person who has set the paper himself, when he is going past there, because sometimes you can have in the halls some people who do not even know what the questions are all about. But here I'm talking about the examiner who knows all the answers to the question. Now when he is going past there in the hall and he is asking that student that why are you stuck? Why are you not moving? Why are you not writing? Why do you look dumbfounded? So then the person says that the question is very difficult. The questions are very difficult. So the examiner says, which questions are difficult? He says, A, B, C. So he says, all right, put your hand into my hand and now I will write the answers. Now when that examiner is going to write the answers himself, will it be difficult then? When he's got his hand in the hand of the examiner and that paper is being now answered by the examiner himself, then will there be any difficulty? So like that, the one who is sending the test and the one who is sending the trial and the one who is sending the difficulties and hardships is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In His wisdom, He knows why He is sending those difficulties. But if He is saying now that you adopt and develop taqwa in your life, you adopt piety in your life, then I will find a way out for you in your problems, in your difficulties. Now Allah Ta'ala Himself is saying that you put your hand into my hand, so then will the person find it difficult? So now that is one of the greatest rewards of taqwa, that the person, Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him in his tightness, in his narrowness, in his difficulties, in his hardship, in his pain, in his suffering. And then He will provide for him rizq and sustenance from those places and those sources which the person would have least expected that it is going to come from. Again, it's an explanation of the ayat. That the person does not even expect that it is going to come from these sources. So many people, they are having great problem, they are unemployed, they do not have some kind of job which so that it can pay their bills. Now this person is being told that develop this taqwa in your life, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will find a way out and He will provide from sources least expected, unknown. Now again, there are incidents upon incidents in the lives of so many people around the world throughout history, how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provided for them from sources that were unknown, unexpected. So now how do we get this taqwa? Again, one of the ways of getting it is fasting in this month of Ramadan. Now fasting in the month of Ramadan, how does it develop that taqwa? It develops it because the person is conscious of the fact that my Allah is watching. That's all. There's nothing else that prevents this person from eating and from drinking and from carnal actions and fulfillment of carnal passions in the privacy of his home and in his room. If a person is newly married, and he's gone on a honeymoon, and Ramadan sets in. Now what else is going to protect him and safeguard him from engaging in carnal passions and desires, except the conscious awareness that my Allah is watching. Jo karta hai to chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. When you hide and commit any sin, your Allah is watching. Remember that. So now, fasting, it is something that is concealed. Now we came for Jummah Salat. Everybody knows us that is in this masjid. So they say, or those who know us, they say, well, the person was there for Jummah Salat. Jummah Salat, we have to make it in congregation. 5 times Salat, we have to make it in congregation. When we go for Hajj, then it is the largest congregation of Muslim gathering. Now there are millions of people, but all have to make it together. But when it comes to fasting, nobody can see fasting. Can anybody see fasting? If a person says, I am fasting, we just have to accept his word that he is fasting, nothing else. Or we see him on the Dastar Khan, that he is making iftar, then we take it for granted that he was fasting, yet he could not have been fasting. Because somebody was not fasting, but he was the first one on the Dastar Khan for iftar. So when they asked him that, but you don't fast, but we see you the first person on the Dastar Khan for iftar. He said, why should I commit 2 sins? If I didn't fast, why I must forego the iftar? At least let me get the sawab of iftar. So sometimes a person could be sitting there and he's not even fasting. So the only thing that nobody can see is this fasting. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala therefore says that fasting is for me. And I am the one who is going to reward this fasting. All the other acts of ibadat and worship that a person does, the angels are given the task that give this person so much reward for this, give him so much reward for tilawat of the Quran Sharif, give him so much reward for the charities that he has given, give him so much reward for the hajj that he has made, give him so much reward for this and that. However, when it comes to fasting, Allah Ta'ala says, fasting is for me, and I will give the reward of this fasting. As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. And although there is some kalam on it, we'll say it can be read also, wana udza bihi, which means that I am the reward of fasting. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that either he is going to give the reward personally to the person who has observed the fast, then too, you can just imagine what is going to be getting. Because it is Allah Ta'ala, He is the one who has unlimited treasures of everything. Our life in His control, our health in His control, our wealth in His control, the heavens and the earth in His control, the waters of the ocean in His control. What is not in the control of Allah Ta'ala? And He says that now I will give the rewards. So He's going to give rewards in this world and in the akhirah. And if we take the other meaning where Allah Ta'ala says, then I become the reward, He becomes the reward. Mahmud and Iyaz is famous, the stories of Mahmud and Iyaz. One was the king and one was the slave. And on one occasion, the king, to show how much of love this Iyaz has for him, so he displayed a lot of things in his court and he said, whoever, whatever they desire, they must take as a gift. So all his people, his ministers, they all came and grabbed whatever they could. But Iyaz did not move. What Iyaz did is that he put his hand on the shoulder of the king. So the king asked him, he said, what about you now? All these people are grabbing everything here. He says, what they will take is nothing in comparison with what you are. Because if I get you, then I got everything. So like that, if the person has got Allah Ta'ala in his life, he got Allah with him, and Allah Ta'ala is saying that I become yours, then he's got all the treasures and the kingdoms of Allah Ta'ala. Now we will say, where are those treasures and kingdoms? Because we believe in cash today. We don't believe in tomorrow. We want everything cash. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it cash, but He gives it in the heart. Outside we will get how much Allah ta'ala wills, but that treasure comes into the heart. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives that muhabbat in the heart. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. What does it mean? Same thing. That, oh Allah, if you are mine, then everything is mine. And if you are not mine, then nothing will be mine. I can have palaces, I can have oil wells, I can have kingdoms, I can have everything. But if you are not mine, then nothing will be mine. It will bring nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. The person's life will be miserable in spite of having everything. But if Allah Ta'ala is his, then if he has everything, then too he is comfortable. And if he doesn't have to, he'll still have sukoon in his heart. So one of the great benefits or the major benefits of this taqwa is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then rewards this person. On the day of judgment, Dastar Khan will be placed under the shade of the throne of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and whilst other people will be answering for their doings and for their deeds, these people will be enjoying the food and drink and everything else. And because of that, there will be no azab also and no punishment after that. But what kind of fast? That is the important thing. We always talk about fasting, but what about the kind of fast? Now, if we have to look at our kind of fast, then it is nothing but that which has been mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that many, many people, they are fasting, but what do they gain from that fast? They gain nothing except hunger, and those people who are standing up for the Taraweeh Salat and other Salats at night, but they gain nothing from that except loss of sleep. Now what does that mean? It means that the person was not observing the fast as it had to be observed. If we are giving up our halal, we are giving up our halal in the month of Ramadan, that which is permissible to eat and drink, we give it up. Because of no other reason except that Allah Ta'ala's hukam and order. Now what can I do? Again, that example came in. And every year it happens that in the first Jummah, normally, that I give this example. Without fail, look up or listen to the tapes of the past Ramadan bayans. That I always give this example, that if the Imam of the Haram Sharif, Makkah Sharif or Madinah Sharif, all the muftis of the world, the grand muftis and the jurists of the world, is all of them have to get together and tell a fasting person who is of the weakest iman like us, weakest iman, his faith and iman is not very strong, but it has to tell him 2 minutes before the time of iftar, just 2 minutes before, and tell him that you've already observed the fast for 16 hours, 18 hours, some places is 18 hours. So you've already observed the fast for 16 hours, 18 hours. Now what difference is it going to make in your life if you have to open your fast? Because somebody had told you that the purpose of fasting is so that you feel the pangs of pain that the poor and hungry feel. So now you felt that for 16 hours, 18 hours. Now what does it matter if you open your fast? The person with the weakest iman, believe me, even if that person doesn't make salat, he doesn't give zakat, and he engages in all other sins, but he is a fasting person. Then that person too will say, he'll say, oh, I cannot open my fast 2 minutes before sun has set, because it is the order of Allah. It's the command of Allah. It's the command of Allah, and I cannot go against the command of Allah Ta'ala. I have to open after the sun has set. Now look at the strength of his iman when it comes to fasting. So then is it not that same Allah who has ordered us to make our salat 5 times a day, to give zakat, to go for hajj, to fulfill the rights of our parents, our children, our wives? Isn't that same Allah who has made it haram for us to cause any person hurt, injury and pain without any justification? Isn't that same Allah Ta'ala who has ordered us not to go anywhere near adultery and fornication? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Isn't it that same Allah Ta'ala who has ordered us and asked us to restrain ourselves from stealing, from gambling, from backbiting, from cheating, from deceiving? Is it not that same Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who has ordered us all the other things which make our life so pleasant and so peaceful and so comfortable in this world and in the akhirah? So when it comes to the other orders of Allah Ta'ala, when it comes to the other orders of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then why is our iman not that strong as it is when it's 2 minutes left for iftar? Why do we become so strong at that time? So this is the training that this fasting is giving. That just as we are fully conscious of the fact that Allah is watching, therefore I must not open my fast 2 minutes before iftar. Or in the privacy of my room, I must not eat and drink because Allah is watching. Whether there are cameras there or no cameras there, that is not the issue, because lots of people don't steal because there's cameras there. Now we say that Allah Ta'ala is watching everything. He doesn't need cameras. So when you've got that consciousness, we are conscious of the fact that Allah is watching, and we're staying away from food and drink and carnal passions and desires, Allah Ta'ala becomes so pleased and so happy. So that this person, nothing else restrained him from all these haram things, or even from the halal in the month of Ramadan, which he was ordered not to eat and drink from dawn to sunset. Nothing else restrained him except my love, my muhabbat, my hukam, my order, and my azmat and my greatness. That is the only thing that restrained him. So therefore I become his, or I give him personally. And when Allah Ta'ala will give personally, we can imagine the unlimited treasures that he will give. So that is the great benefit of this fasting. It's not some kind of burden that Allah Ta'ala has imposed upon us. So abstinence from backbiting, from cheating, from deceiving, gambling, and all the other noises of the outside world, we should try and reduce as much of our activities of the outside in this month of Ramadan. Many times I have mentioned that try it out one Ramadan. Like if Asar Namaz is now at 4:30 or some places 4:45, close the shop at 4:15 and see at the end of the month if there is any difference in the takings. Inshallah, you will see more barakat and more blessings, because you will be making it easy for your Muslim staff and Muslim employees to get to their masajid, to make their Asar Namaz, to get ready for iftar, to prepare for the Taraweeh. But if we are going to be greedy and we say, no, we must close at 5 o'clock, you are employed, you must only finish off at 5 o'clock. And not 5 o'clock also, some of them delay it even more than that they start closing at 5 and finish at 5:30. Now that person's asar has become qaza, and we have deprived that person of so much of blessings and neki. Yet if we had accommodated them, then we would have got even the rewards of whatever ibadah they engage themselves in. And I can take billion qasams in this masjid that not 1 cent from whatever was due to you will become lessened. Not 1 cent. In fact, what you will get, there will be multiplication in that in the form of barakat. Try it out and see it. Those people who have gone into such kind of actions, they admit that indeed there was nothing short. In fact, they don't know where the customers came from after that. So why do we want to lose hope in that Allah, who is so merciful, so forgiving, and He is the sustainer, risk and sustenance is in His hands, and unlimited He provides. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to appreciate and value every minute and every second of this Mubarak month. Allah ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya, best of akhirat, and remove the difficulty, suffering, hardship, pain and problem of mankind around the globe, and especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.